Today in Business from Wired.
This episode is brought to you by ShipStation. You know, some things take a lot of work, like sending little robots to far-off distant planets. And just as that's challenging, so too is running a successful e-commerce business, especially when there's so much to do. So I want to introduce you all to ShipStation. Now, I love using ShipStation because of its easy-to-use dashboard, which makes managing orders and printing labels a breeze and super smooth. Oh, and the customer service is just out of this world. It's exactly what you need to help grow your business. Sign up for your free 60-day trial at ShipStation.com/technews. That's ShipStation.com/technews. This episode is brought to you by ShipStation. You know, some things take a lot of work, like sending little robots to far-off distant planets. And just as that's challenging, so too is running a successful e-commerce business, especially when there's so much to do. So I want to introduce you all to ShipStation. Now, I love using ShipStation because of its easy-to-use dashboard, which makes managing orders and printing labels a breeze and super smooth. Oh, and the customer service is just out of this world. It's exactly what you need to help grow your business. Sign up for your free 60-day trial at ShipStation.com/technews. That's ShipStation.com/technews.
Hey there, this is the spoken edition of Wired.
Huawei's many troubles, bans, alleged spies, and backdoors, by Clint Finley. Bad news keeps piling up for Chinese telecommunications giant Huawei. Last week, an employee was arrested in Poland on espionage charges. This week, the company's products, which include both phones and network gear, were banned from Taiwanese government systems, the South China Morning Post reported, over concerns that Huawei could build backdoors into its products on behalf of the Chinese government. To top it off, U.S. prosecutors have launched a criminal investigation into accusations that Huawei stole intellectual property from T-Mobile and other companies, the Wall Street Journal reports. Taiwan's decision follows Australia's announcement last year that it will ban the country's carriers from buying equipment for next-generation 5G networks from Huawei and other Chinese telecom companies over fears of government ties. Huawei is already effectively barred from selling equipment or phones in the U.S. But things could still get worse. The U.K., Canada, the Czech Republic, Norway, and Japan are all reportedly reconsidering their relationships with Huawei as well. Huawei's escalating troubles come amid sharply rising tensions between the U.S. and China over trade, intellectual property, and geopolitics. Some of the suspicions about Huawei's connections to the Chinese government go back years, but the recent spate of arrests, bans, and complaints is new. These Huawei problems have been bubbling under the surface for quite a few years, telecom industry analyst Jeff Kagan says. Now they are at a rapid boil, and there is no hiding from it. And this rapid boil is only going to get worse. In a rare press conference Tuesday, Huawei founder Ren Zhengfei said the company doesn't spy on behalf of the Chinese government. "I support the Communist Party of China, but I will never do anything to harm any other nation," Ren said, according to the Wall Street Journal. The big question is whether these are temporary setbacks or if they mark a global retreat that will knock Huawei from its perch as the world's largest seller of telecommunications gear. Some of Huawei's problems stem not from countries deciding not to do business with it, but from allegedly selling equipment to Iran, which is forbidden by U.S. sanctions. Last month, Huawei CFO Meng Wanzhou, who is also Ren's daughter, was arrested in Canada for defrauding financial institutions about Huawei's relationship to an apparent subsidiary that sold equipment to Iran. She's awaiting extradition to the U.S. The consequences for violating sanctions against Iran can be severe. Last year, another Chinese telecom giant, ZTE, announced that it would halt its operations after the U.S. Department of Commerce banned U.S. companies from doing business with ZTE because of its sales to Iran. The U.S. ultimately decided to drop the ban, saving ZTE, but the company still had to agree to pay a $900 million fine, on top of an earlier $1 billion fine, replace its entire board and senior leadership, and allow a team of U.S. compliance coordinators to monitor its compliance with U.S. trade laws. The fact that the U.S. wasn't willing to ban American companies from doing business with ZTE suggests it won't be willing to ban sales to Huawei either. But U.S. officials appear to be taking a harder line against Huawei than ZTE. No ZTE executives were arrested. Analysts say Huawei isn't as vulnerable as ZTE. Huawei is more financially stable than ZTE was, says industry consultant Chiten Sharma. And Huawei is less dependent on the handset business than ZTE. Plus, Huawei's handset business is less dependent on technology from U.S. companies than ZTE is, Sharma says. For example, Huawei is building its own alternative to Google's Android operating system. U.S.-based Qualcomm dominates the market for high-end mobile chips, but Huawei could buy from other suppliers, such as Samsung in North Korea. Meanwhile, the Chinese government is trying to kickstart the domestic chip industry through its $20 billion Integrated Circuit Industry Investment Fund. But being able to survive doesn't mean that tougher U.S. sanctions against Huawei wouldn't damage the company, especially if more countries end up banning Huawei's equipment. Losing access to big markets like Germany or India would be particularly bad for the company. The good news for Huawei is that even countries that block it from building new networks will likely still have to rely on the company to maintain their 4G networks under existing contracts, Sharma says. These things don't happen overnight. They happen over the space of years, he says. The bad news is that it's going to be extremely hard for Huawei to repair its image abroad, and much of its future is in the hands of the Chinese government. There's little more Huawei itself can do to build trust. Huawei already allows the UK government to inspect its source code for backdoors, for example. But last month, the chief of the UK's Secret Intelligence Service, Alex Younger, said deciding whether to allow Huawei to build the country's infrastructure would be a difficult choice, the New York Times reported in December. Sharma says a decline in cyber attacks originating from China, along with reform of the country's intellectual property rules, a major concern in the Trump administration's trade negotiations with China, could go a long way toward repairing the relationship between Chinese companies and the rest of the world. But Kagan isn't so optimistic. I don't think it can be corrected, Kagan says. The only way Huawei gets through this is if some customers and countries decide they don't care.